Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 160. It's the week of July 29th, 2012. I'd like to thank you for coming along. I'm recording my podcast live from my studio in Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, and I really do appreciate you downloading the show. If you're a new listener, I'm an ordinary, middle-of-the-pack, regular nobody who likes to run 5Ks up to marathons and beyond, and I never win anything, but I have a whole lot of fun trying. And if you're expecting big things out of this podcast, as in elite running reports and whatnot, you've come to the wrong place. But if you are interested in regular Joes and the efforts of regular people out there who like to indulge in the sport of distance running, then you've definitely come to the right place. And with this podcast, so thanks for coming along. And if you're a repeat listener, I do definitely appreciate you coming back. I'm working on getting an interview together with my friend Lummix. Lummix is Jim, and he's had that nickname for since college. I've known him since late 80s. We went to college together, and he's gonna be running his first marathon on October 13th. I've sent him an email, requested to do an interview either over Skype or TalkShoe, just to because he's definitely a regular Joe. And the word Lummix, the definition of that is a clumsy or stupid person, which he is not. But a second definition is someone with poor motor skills. So he's kind of that way, I guess. I'm not really sure how he... I think we kind of nicknamed him that because he was kind of slow going, I guess, a little bit in college. I'm not sure, Jim. Is that how you got the nickname? But what I was doing is I want to call, since he and I are going to be running this race together, and we're going to be running with another guy named Jim LeClaire, who's also an ultra runner, but he does distances longer than I do. I want to call ourselves Team Lummix, but I already knew that that name was taken by some kind of cycling group. I saw a shirt some years back at a event that I did where a guy was riding his bike and his shirt said Team Lummix, and I remember taking a picture of it. I looked on, they had a website, and Team Lummix is serious about not being serious, so I kind of like that. So that's kind of the perspective we're going to take on this Baltimore Marathon. And I've kind of said before in one of the previous podcasts that I've turned into a minimalist, which means I'm doing the minimal amount of training required to finish a marathon this fall. So I'm not doing the minimalist shoes, but I'm doing the minimalist training. And right now I'm only at a long run of 10 miles. Next week will be 11. So I'm working on getting an interview together with Lummix, and I think everybody will enjoy that. And hopefully that'll be the next show or the one after that. And if he agrees to it, we'll get that together. And he and I have been old friends, so unfortunately there might be some inside jokes within the interview. However, we'll be working on that, and I'll get that together. Let's see. A couple other things happened to me since the last show. I got free coffee at Wawa. Never happened to me before. I went in to get my French vanilla flavor. They were out of it, so I got the regular, and the guy told me that it was on the house because they didn't have what I wanted. And so I got free coffee. That's pretty cool. Can't beat that. I was going to have to use my debit card, because I hate to use my debit card just for low amounts. So I just want to make sure that the person at the register knew that I was authorized to have it free, because I didn't want anybody to accuse me of stealing the coffee. That would have been pretty embarrassing. The next topic I wanted to hit on here, I've got a whole list of stuff here of some notes that I made over the course since the last show. Not all of it's running related, but some of it is. Name of the show for this time is Life is Too Short to Wear Pants You Don't Like, and the reason for that is that we're giving away a pair of dress pants that I wear for work. I don't like them. I never like them. They don't fit right. They're not the right length. They looked great when I bought them at the store and tried them on, but when I get home, and I've since learned to always bring shoes that I wear with those pants to the store when I try on pants. We're giving them to Goodwill. I finally just decided I'm not going to wear these pants anymore. I never feel confident when I'm wearing them. And the same thing goes for running shorts. I've got two pairs of Adidas running shorts that, for whatever reason, are just a hair too short, and they creep up too much. Whereas I've got an almost identical pair of Adidas shorts that are just a little bit longer, and they're just fine. And I think we're talking about an inch difference in the inseam. I don't know what it is about my physique, but I get, you know, a certain length of shorts, and all I'm doing the whole time I'm running is pulling the crotch down, if you know what I mean. Just totally annoying. And, you know, you see these people that run and their pants are all, you know, cinched up in the crotch. I always think it looks kind of ridiculous. I mean, you know, you might as well look pretty good while you're running. It's hard enough to go out and do a long run, but, you know, you might as well not look ridiculous while you're doing it. So I'm kind of a proponent of that. I'm getting rid of two pairs of running shorts that I never liked at the beginning. I really don't wear them except around the house. And even then, when I'm sitting down, I'm constantly pulling them down. So I'm getting rid of those. And I've decided that life is too short to wear pants that you don't like. And I just think that's a great, really a great motto overall. You know, life is too short to. I got a friend who has an architectural firm. This is the guy that said he wants to advertise on my podcast, but he's never put his money where his mouth is. And his slogan is, life is too short to live in an ugly house. And I think that I've kind of helped him adopt that logo, and then he finally put it on the back of his truck, and I think it's great. So not only is life too short to wear pants you don't like, life is too short to live in an ugly house, and a host of other things. I've always said life's too short to work in a job that you don't like, but sometimes we have to work jobs that we don't want just to, I guess when it comes down to bare-bone taxes, to put food on the table. So I had to go to the eye doctor last week. This is something that was determined in my yearly physical through work. And everything else is okay with me except for my eyesight. And turns out that I can, if I want to get reading glasses, I can. I've noticed that I just can't read real small stuff. Basically, I can't read my cell phone when I'm driving. that's really the main problem, is that I can't see the numbers in my contact list to pick out which number to call while I'm driving the car. I guess that's my biggest fear, and I probably shouldn't do that. And I have actually stopped doing that just because it's too hard to see. But I got a prescription for reading glasses if I want to go do that, and I haven't decided if that's something I'm going to do or not. I don't need glasses for general living. And I don't need them to watch TV or to drive, to see road signs or anything like that. But I find that when I, you know, when I'm trying to read in bed, or I'm reading the newspaper in the morning, or better yet, trying to read articles in a running magazine, I just can't see the words enough to enjoy reading, especially in these magazine pages that have three columns of words, which are really small. Such as, you know, when articles are continued at the end of the magazine, you know, the words are really small. So I think I'm going to have to go do that. And I hadn't gone to the eye doctor in probably about 30 years since I was little. And it's pretty much the same. Even the equipment all looks the same. The only thing that I remember not being as bad is that when they do the eye drops, I guess, to enlarge your pupils, I don't remember having to squint as hard as an adult when I went outside as when I was younger. I just remember it was just so bright for the longest period of time. But as an adult, it didn't. My eyes seemed to go back to normal relatively quickly. And it also might be because when you're little, everything seems to take longer anyway. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, that's the word on the eye doctor visit. It has nothing to do with running. Not really sure why I even brought it up, but you know, for your information, that's it was on the list. But I got a really cool thing in the mail from Sandy, and it was it's a 26.2 sticker with times 20 underneath. And I'm gonna read. Sandy sent me a little note here through the United States Postal Service, so she's keeping them in business. It says, "Dave, I heard you say on a recent podcast you've done 20 plus marathons. Thought you might want one of these. My husband had them made for me. I'll hit 20 this fall. Thanks for the podcast, Sandy." And, you know, Sandy, you'll be happy to know, first of all, thank you very much for the sticker, and all the best with your Hallucination 100 that's coming up. I think it's September, if I'm not mistaken. It's coming up really quick. Hopefully your training's going well for that. I went out and put the sticker right on my car, and I plan to keep it there until someone, you know, gives me the business for being a show-off, you know, that I've run 20 marathons, or until I get a dumb question about What is times 20? Did you run 26.2 miles times 20? Yeah, I guess you could say I did that. I'm not sure what, I know that's, I don't know how many miles that is, but it's certainly, it's more than, I've done more than, because some of those were ultras, but it's all relatively the same. But it's a really cool sticker because it's there's probably just two of these out there, one here in Virginia and the other one, I believe Sandy lives in Michigan, I'm pretty sure. So thank you so much for that, Sandy. I am going to send you an email thanking you for that, and I know that you're running the second attempt at the Hallucination 100 and Ultra, that's 100 miles, and I know that Dirt Dog is going to be one of your loop pacers, if I'm not mistaken. I heard him say that on his podcast. So I think that's awesome, and I wish you all the best with that. And I'm it's always nice to get something in the mail. The best surprises or the best gifts are the ones that are the unexpected. And you know, when you go out to the mailbox and you see, you know, something addressed to yourself, and yeah, she lives in Rochester Hills, Michigan, is exactly where she lives, and she's got a cute little dog sticker on her return address. It's always, and when I saw her name on here, I had a feeling it was going to be something related, because when I got my 100K mileage, Sandy sent me a 100K sticker, and of course I actually put that one on my refrigerator out in my my man cave. I got a garage which has kind of turned into a man cave. So thanks for that, Sandy. Really do appreciate that. Thanks for listening to the show as always. Let me talk about my 5-miler I ran last week. Last week we had a very tough week of temperatures, heat index temperatures of over 100 degrees, air temperatures of 98 to 99 degrees. And I do my running in the afternoon, probably the hardest part of the day, not by choice, just because of the way it works out with our family routine. And last week, or this past week, the training was 3:53:10. So that would have been 15 plus 6, 21 miles. And so I did the 3-miler. And just because of something I had going on in the evening, I didn't do the 5-miler on Tuesday. I did Tuesday and Wednesday, I did 3-milers each day. Then I saved the 5-miler for Thursday. And then, of course, yesterday I did the 10-miler, which I'll talk about in a second. But I went out for the 5-miler, and at 3.3 miles, I just I gave it up. It was too hot. I was getting very close to being overcome by the heat. I had a very, very quick flash of lightheadedness. And that's I really failed to see what benefit I was going to get from running another 1.7 or even walk. Well, I guess I walked a mile home from where I quit running. I took a shortcut, and I just said, you know what? My head wasn't in it, literally, because it was kind of light. And I just decided to, you know, to break it down. And I think that's okay to do that during a training cycle. If you're not feeling good, if what you're doing is not making you feel good, and it's and your head's not in it, I think it's okay just to bag it. And this is week 5, I think. Let me check. 1, 2. Yeah, that was week 5 of the 16-week training program, and that was the first time I'd ditched a run. So I don't really feel that bad about it, but it wasn't making any. I was just getting no benefit from it, and it was awful, is what it was. It was just so hot, and I even felt awful just walking home. I didn't even really feel any better not running. It was just, I think it was 104 is what they were saying it was that day, and that's a humid heat. It was, I think, 98 degrees, but it was a heat index of however they figured that out of 104. And it's not a dry heat at all. This is a humid heat where your clothes are soaking wet, and you can wring your shirt out. I mean, that's not from all your perspiration. It's from just the humidity, the moisture in the air, I think, as well. I mean, I don't know what, you know, how much moisture is from your body, how much is from the atmosphere, but it's just it was just brutal. Let's just put it that way. And I really haven't, you know, just bagged a run like that in a while. So going into the 10-miler, which I did yesterday, I was a little apprehensive about whether I would be able to go the distance because of the humidity. I got started about 7:30. We had to wait a little bit because it was my daughter's birthday, so we wanted to kind of get some things going for her. And then I was able to get out of the house for a couple hours. And actually worked pretty good. I took 2 bottle handhelds with me. And what I did is, instead of doing loops around the neighborhood. I went out 5 miles, and then that way I would have to cover the 10 either by walking or just a slow jog one way or the other. I was going to cover the distance. And it turned out, of course, I'm doing my I run a mile, walk a tenth, run a mile, walk a tenth. That's just the method I use now for the when I do double digits, and it really worked. And the funny thing is I made a big rookie mistake, which I'll talk about at the end of the show. But and some of y'all might be able to guess what it is based on previous. I've made pleas before out there to the male listeners. You know, I've pleaded with male listeners to take care of a certain part of their body when they're going on these long runs and races, and I forgot to do it myself. But I'll talk to about that. But I've got a new dog. There's a dog on my 10-mile route now, and when I did 8 last week, I encountered the same dog, and I had to place some sticks. Now, on this particular section of road, it's called Woodside Drive. There's no houses. Well, there's a couple houses on the road, but it's a 1 mile long straight road with a neighborhood off of it, and then a couple houses. It's kind of a rural area, and last week was the first time I encountered this German Shepherd that actually ran from the yard full sprint right out to the road and startled me. So what I've done is I got a stick, and when I came back, when I ran past the dog the first time, I think it kind of saw me after I'd passed the house. But when I did my turnaround, it was ready for me, but I was ready for it too. I had a stick, and I was able to keep it away. Well, yesterday when I did the 10-miler, I was prepared, and I picked up the stick that I had dropped the week before, and what I did is I used some voice commands, and the dog stayed away. But it's one of those dogs that comes out in the street, and once you turn your back and start walking, it kind of walks, and then you turn around to confront it, and it'll stop, and then you turn and walk, and it starts walking behind you. It's one of those annoying things, but it only goes so far. I don't know how they decide where their boundary is, but I was ready for the dog, and anyway, I made it back home. I got my 10 miles, and I felt okay this morning when I got up. Definitely felt like I'd gotten up to the 10-mile mark. But it was a big confidence booster getting to the double digits. And next week is 11, and then 12 the week after that. And before I know it, I'll be at the half marathon mark. And once I get to the half marathon mark, that just springs me up to the 16, to the 17. And at that point in time, I know my fitness is ready, ready for the to get to that marathon mark and get to the 20-miler training run. So I'm pretty keyed up right now. I'm feeling pretty good about the training. I just got to get through. We're waiting for a break in the heat. This week goes up to the 4:54, whereas we've been enjoying the 3:53 for the longest time. So we'll be up in the mileage. Let's see. Let's talk a little about the selfish nature of distance running. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, because I was listening to a podcast while I was on the 10-miler, and I think it was Trail Runner Nation or Trail Nation Runner or something, whatever that one is called. It's pretty decent. They really like the trails in that podcast. And if you've listened to my shows, you know I like road running over the trails. I don't have any problem with anything against the trails, but I usually seek out the road races. But it is it's Trail Runner Nation is what it's called, I think. It's a good podcast. They had a fellow on there talking about kind of the selfish nature of distance running, how you spend all this time out there by yourself, training, if you train by yourself, or what you're doing is you're training away from your family and loved ones. And then on race day, you ask all them to come out and support you for your selfish endeavor. And that kind of hit home with me. And it made me just kind of think a little bit about some of the races that I've done where I've kind of expected my family to come out there and support me. Whereas it's probably maybe one of the last things that either my wife or my daughter would really want to do spending their time is to come out there, drive from spot to spot just to see me run past and deal with any complaints that I've got. So it's kind of made me appreciate a little bit more how nice it is when they're out there. And the reason I bring this up is because I'm going to be doing this Colonial 200 relay in September. And in order for... I can't remember the actual date on. I think it's around the 25th or something. And the reason I say that is because in order for our team to get a discount on the registration, you have to supply 2 volunteers. And, of course, I've asked my wife, Monica, to be one of those volunteers. And the initial indications looked like the race, because the route comes right through the center of the universe. I mean, matter of fact, it goes within a half mile of my house on a road called Ashcake Road, where it crosses the railroad tracks, which is near where we live. And it couldn't have been a better, and one of the exchange points is at the YMCA, which is where, you know, I've walked to when my daughter was in after school care there. I would walk from my house to the YMCA and walk her home. I mean, that's how close it is. Well, it turned, so I asked my wife if she would volunteer, be at one of these exchange points. You somewhat act as a race marshal and make sure everybody exchanges correctly and they're following the rules with the lights. And I just figured, of course she's going to do that. I mean, it's right here by the house. Well, as it turns out, the way they start, the organizers start this thing is they figure out what your times are going to be based on everything you submit in your race application. And they start the different teams at different times. So the people at the exchange points aren't there for, you know, 36 hours. And it turns out the exchange points near my house are going to be in the middle of the night. So that was a no-go. I had to change that. So now I've talked her into driving, you know, 30 miles to the west out in Louisa County to work at an exchange point. And she's pretty much, you know, agreed to do that as long as, you know, it's because you have to agree, I think, to a 6-hour window of a shift. And I think she'll work, I don't know, 6 to midnight or something like that. Because, you know, we have our daughter and she can't stay home by herself. So you got this selfish nature of distance running. You see, maybe I'm kind of getting to my point in a roundabout sort of way, is that you ask a lot of people for your goal. You really do ask a lot of people for your goal. And when I went down and did the Graveyard 100, when I did the 100K of that event, I had a lot of people come down there. I don't think I gave them gas money. I might have given them some. I know Monica, I think, made them some food. But other than that, you know, you're just hoping that they agree to do it. But then on the flip side, I've gone down to Atlanta, Georgia to help Rodney when he did his 50. I've crewed time at the Mountain Masochist. I guess nothing else comes to mind at the moment, but I guess in some ways you kind of pay it forward, but it's a very selfish nature, and distance running is a very selfish thing when it gets right down to it, because you're not out there running really for anybody else's goal but your own. Even if you're out there raising money, you still have to cover the distance and get the achievement in order to raise the money for your foundation or your charity. So anyway, just listen to that podcast. Made me think of several things, and I just wanted to, I don't know, kind of think, you know, analyze them out loud a little bit in the podcast. So let me talk about the rookie mistake before I get into the email bag section of the show, because we've got some good emails. I didn't wear any nip guards yesterday in my 10-miler, and I paid the fiddler big time when I got in the shower later. Huge rookie mistake. It's amazing. I knew it was happening. There was a period of time when I was running, just pulling my shirt away from my chest because everything was so wet, and I knew it was rubbing, and I just knew when I got in the shower it was going to be painful. I was wearing a dark blue shirt, so I don't know if there was any bleeding or not. But I probably would have looked pretty silly had I been wearing a white shirt or even a yellow shirt. Huge rookie mistake. You know, you'd think I would know that by now. You know, 20 marathons, countless double-digit training runs within all those training cycles, running in the humidity, seeing how silly men look when they have two blood streaks coming down the front of their chest when they're wearing a white shirt. I mean, it just looks absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, it's funny. When I was younger and I saw that, I would think that, you know, guys would, their nipples would bleed because they ran so hard, you know, and that was just a way that the male's body reacted. Whereas it turns out it's really just because of being a dumbass. I mean, that's really why your nipples bleed anyway, because you don't take care of things before you go out. And I won't make that rookie mistake again. So, okay, let's get into the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. All right, heard from Foolish Phil, and it was really good to hear from him because I got a couple emails from him. He does a lot of marathons. He said he's been listening to some of the old podcasts. He's been driving to marathons the last couple of weekends. On July 14th, he ran the Grandfather Mountain Marathon in Boone, North Carolina. He was actually very comfortable because as he ran up into the mountains, it got much cooler, and he was in the mist and the fog most of the way. It's a classic run. He said he highly recommends it to anybody listening out there. And then he did an overnight marathon. This would have been the week of July 21st, starting at midnight. It's called the Looney's Midnight Marathon in Livingston, Tennessee. Phil writes, it was a great experience, and he said he definitely could probably set something up like this up in the center of the universe. There was no traffic was tied up because it was at night. The race started with a 1.2-mile loop that got things started, and then it was a five-mile loop. They started and ended at a school, and then I think he said it also passed a big sports facility, so there's lots of restrooms and water without disturbing a lot of people. Great T-shirts, finishing awards. Limited to 50. They had people there from 14 states. Apparently the demand was really high. He said it was a lot more fun than running in the daylight in the South in July. He linked to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Looney's Midnight Marathon. And that's LOONIES. And I think I'm going to check that out. He said it was in a small town. Some streets were closed. There was no traffic at all, primarily in residential areas, but it crossed one major state highway, which did have the police out there. They used glow sticks at all the turns. He said it was a really good idea, and he said it was it'd be good training for people doing 100 since they're up all night, and got some great swag. And then next Sunday he's doing, and this is would be first week in August, he's doing something called Blister in the Sun, and he recommended that I look that up. So I definitely will, no doubt about that, Phil. And I do definitely appreciate you sending the emails into the show. And I know I've got another email from you that's down at the bottom of my list here, so I'll check that out here once I get down to it. Phil's always sending in great information. Heard from Richard out of the Woodlands, Texas, and he's very excited about the information I provided about the Colonial 200 Relay, because he really likes relays. He does the Texas Independence Relay. Anyway, he was commenting on the litter show, and he's been an original listener from the beginning, all 159, I guess 160 shows now. So he knows that I just hate litter, and I talk about it frequently, and it's just, you know, everybody's got something they don't like in litter. Anyway, but in Texas they have something where you can turn in people that litter. You can own, report the owner of a vehicle. And what the owner down in Texas, the owner of the vehicle, if you see someone litter out of a car, you can report the offender or report the vehicle tag, and then the owner of the vehicle gets a letter reminding them not to litter, and they get a litter bag for their car. And I think that's a good idea. I'm not really sure if, you know, you don't really, unless you get some feedback from that, how effective it is, but I think it's a good idea. And Richard also mentioned that cigarette butts seem to be the most frequent thing that we see thrown out several times. He's seen it, and he's used the website, and the driver looked like a teenager, and that he said he'd be surprised to them when the parents get the letter. Richard, it's interesting you bring that up, because here in Hanover, at a lot of the intersections that I've seen, or in the county, not necessarily in the town, I live in the town of Ashland's in Hanover County, there are signs at the intersections now that say, use your ashtray, not the highway, for the cigarette butts. And I think that's a pretty good idea. Because, you know, stoplights, if you look outside the stoplight in the median, next time, that's where the cigarette butts are. You could easily get almost any intersection where there's a stoplight, like a left turn, and that's where people dump their ashtray or throw the cigarettes out. So anyway, Richard, thanks for the email. And he did link to the don'tmesswithtexas.org/reportalitterer. And that's the website. So that's pretty cool. And Richard's always good to hear from you. And if I tell you what, if I haven't, I think he's the one that said I should come down and do the Rocky Raccoon 50. And he would be my crew. And I can't really comment on that yet, Richard, because I got to get through these marathons. And I think the Rocky Raccoon is in, I'd have to figure out travel plans and all that down there. But it's a very nice offer. So I really, really do appreciate that. Heard from Dr. Smitty, and he's told me he's going to be here for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. He's actually going to be staying in the area within about a 35-40-minute drive up at Lake Anna, and he's going to drive down that early morning for the race and then drive back after the race, and then they're going back home the next day. So looking forward to seeing you, Greg. He has also got Big Fall. He's doing the Norfolk Freedom Full Marathon on November 11th, and running the Memphis Marathon again on December 1st. And he wants to run the Seashore Nature Trail 50K again, but he's on call that week. And if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me talk about Dr. Smitty numerous times. We've become pretty good friends through emails and meeting up and doing races together. He's the one that told me about the Seashore Nature Trail 50K, which is in December, put on by the Tidewater Striders. Outstanding event. I've only done it once, but it's only because I've been on call for work in consecutive years after that. I really liked it, had good swag, and the folks that I know that have gone down to do that again, I really liked it. It's down in Chesapeake, Virginia, that area, and it's just a great event. I highly recommend it to anybody that lives in the region to look it up if you're interested in going beyond the marathon mark for the first time, because it's a trail race, but it's not a mountainous, hills. So it's just a good way to get through the marathon mark for the first, get past the marathon mark for the first time if that's what you're interested in. So check that out. That's the Seashore Nature Trail 50K if you're interested. Also, Greg said that he's still working on his running streak as of the day of the email, which was July 21st. His 204 days with running every day. He says he's logged over 1,200 miles for the year, which puts him on track to run over 2,000 for the year. He thinks that running every day has made him a much stronger runner. He actually ran a personal record in the mile the other night at a fun race that the Tidewater Striders had, and he ran 5:45. And he's trying to beat his son's mile record of 5:41. I think his son is 14. I'm not sure. Let's see. Later in the email, he said he had to gear up for the long run. He said he's only running 12 today, not the 16 and 18 that he usually runs. And he said it's going to feel so easy to run the fall when the weather cools. And I totally agree with you, Greg. No doubt about that. I am totally waiting for the weather to break. And looking forward to seeing you on August 25th down at the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. Let's see. Going to the next email here. We got, I heard from Chris. Chris is seriously thinking about doing the 100-miler Umstead. And he says he's absolutely going after it. And that was the first one he thought about. And he says knows it's doable. And I know it's a hard to get in. That's a hard one to get into. Chris writes on the Running After Daylight blog, if you've ever checked that out. He hasn't updated it in a while. I got it on my favorites of my internet sites, but he hasn't updated it since March. I haven't checked it as often. So I emailed him to see if he was still alive, and he said he was. He's just been really busy. It looks like he's going to be doing Umstead next April if he can get in, and he's going to have some people helping him to register to make sure he gets in. And I tell you, if that's really not that far from where I live, I could get down there. I've offered to help. I would have to train for that and move my schedule around. But if he commits to that, and once he does that, then I will probably try to get down there to, if nothing else, to at least watch. Watch him finish, because it's a campground and I like camping, and if the weather's good, there's nothing better than camping and watching runners, as opposed to, there might be a couple things better than camping and watching runners. Maybe camping on the beach or camping where you can see the ocean. that might be a little bit better. But anyway, Chris, good to hear from you, and keep me posted on Umstead and how things develop from there. I'm very, very curious to know how those things would work out. Okay, heard from Jared. Jared's says he's been listening for. Been meaning to email me for a couple weeks. He said he started listening to the show. So he's from Utah and he wants a DVD. So I'm gonna take care of that today, Jared. Sorry about the delay. He said he started listening couple weeks after hearing of the show from the Dirt Dog Show, and he's listened to all the shows available on iTunes, and he thinks he can still access some older ones on the website. And he wanted to get episode 10, but he said he was sad to see it's not on the website anymore, and he would be interested in getting a copy of the CDs if I put a CD together of the old episodes. So Jared, yes, I am thinking about doing that, and what I'm probably going to do is I don't have any CDs at the house, so I have to buy some, but I've got DVDs. So I'm going to burn you the DVD of the Graveyard 100, send that to you, and I'll send you the address where you can send the charity donation if that's what you choose to do. And then what I'll do is I'll burn a CD and send that separately, so you'll get those two things separate once I'm able to get some CDs at the house. But anyway, Jared said he's pretty new to running. He's never really run except for sports until about 3 years ago. Runs about one race a year for the last 3 years, two half marathons, and did a 17-mile trail race. This fall, he's got two more half marathons and then a marathon in the spring, and he's hoping to get up to the ultra distance in the next few years. Says he's pretty slow, staying in the back quarter of finishers in all his races, but just trying to have fun. And you know, Jared, that's really, you know, that's the whole point, is just what you said, to have fun. And if you win, then that's better for you as a winner. But if you just want to finish, that's really all you need to be satisfied. I am not gonna win races. I don't unless I was the only one that showed up. It would be how I would win. But that's not how I measure my success. And I've been fortunate enough to cross the finish line at in countless races. The ones I'm most proud of for myself are the ultras and the marathon, my first marathon, and which got me hooked. And I like looking at my race medals and thinking about how fun it was, and looking back on the experience with the training experience with the people that I met. And I've said this before, and I'd like to say it again because it's so important. And I repeat this all the time to people that I talk to when we talk about these things. I have met people through distance running. Half marathon, you know, training teams, marathon training groups, you know, informal training groups like Team Doom, which was a group we put together here in town to race Shamrock several years ago. I've gotten to know people that I would never otherwise meet or know through social contacts and professional contacts, or church, or whatever, or volunteering, if I had not become a distance runner. And I'm talking about people that, you know, they have kids, some don't have kids, some are married, some are divorced, some are younger, some are older, you know, different economic backgrounds, you name it. And you all have this thing in common, which is distance running, so you all can relate at some level. And the only thing that's more fun than running is talking about running. And this is my Team Incognito group that I'm kind of mainly referring to now, that if you listen to the show, you've heard me talk about it. We've kind of become a virtual group now, but we're going to be doing the Colonial 200 Relay. And I would have never, ever met these people and been friends with them since, this is from 2006 when I ran my first marathon. This is the group, 6 years later, that is my core go back to group to say, hey, do you guys want to get a team together to do this? Do you guys want to get a team together to do that? That's who the people are. And I think that's cool. And if I had never, ever signed up for that half marathon training team back in 2006, I would have never met this outstanding group of people that I've become very good friends with. So, Jared, you're right. Just trying to have fun. Hey, man, if you win, that's cool. I personally try not to be the one that's DFL, which is, you know, dead freaking last, but that's, you know, that's just me. I don't want to be in last place, but I know I'm not going to be in first place. I just want to have fun, and I know I will if I just, you know, to look at it from that perspective. So appreciate the email. Thanks for listening to the show, and be looking for the DVD. All right, heard from Neil, and when I had asked about podcasts that other people listen to, and he sent in the Three Non-Joggers. Is his by far his favorite podcast. He says sometimes they get a little bit of running talk in, but the chemistry is great, so I'm going to check that one out. And I really definitely appreciate that, Neil. Neil has actually has a podcast himself, but he says he's not sure he'd recommend it. He says it's a very low-cost production where he rambles about anything under the sun while he runs. And I have listened to that. And if you go to tk421.com, I think it's blogspot.com, you'll find Neil's podcast. That's tk42one.blogspot.com or some variation of that, and you'll find his. I have not listened to it, but anybody that rambles is always going to be an interesting podcast. So thanks for the email, Neil. I really appreciate that. Also heard from Alex, and Alex provided his podcast suggestions. He also listens to Three Non-Joggers. He listens to Ultra Runner Podcast and then Trail Runner Nation. And I got him confused with, I can't remember the guy who ran the Keys Marathon, and I thought it was Alex, and he says, I've never run in the Keys, but I'll take the shout out either way. Ha. So, Alex, thanks for the email, and I just can't remember, that's embarrassing when you can't remember the listener who ran the Keys Marathon. For some reason, I thought it was Alex. I don't save all the emails. I get lost in them sometimes, and anyway. Alex, thanks for the email. I really do appreciate it. It's good to hear from you. Let's see. I heard from David at Flinders Island, and it's always good to hear from him. He says he just caught up on the last show. He says Flinders Island is in Australia. He says in case there is a rivalry between New Zealand and Australia, he said Australia is the other center of the universe on the best side of the pond, as the ocean between us is affectionately known. And he's very tongue-in-cheek. He says, surely you've seen the world maps with us on top of the globe. Oops. All right, that's what's called a techno problem. All right, let's get back to David Williams. Sorry about that. That's just a GarageBand problem I just had. Anyway, he said the point of writing again was to let me know he cannot find U.S. dollars to send to ACES. He's going to try to send them some Australian dollars. And that's fine, David. I'll leave it up to them to figure out a way to exchange that and get that deposited into their account. And I really do appreciate you sending that. And I still can't believe the DVD made it all the way down there. I'm glad you're able to watch it. I was kind of curious what you thought about it. So good to hear from you. And I appreciate you listening to the show. Let's see, another one from Richard was, he's going to be doing, I forgot to mention this, he's doing the Oil Creek 100K in Pennsylvania. That's his next big race, and that is in October, so hopefully, Neil, your training's going well. Neil lives not far from here. He lives in King George, I believe he's in King George, and is really not that far from Hanover, so I'll probably cross paths with him someday. I appreciate that, Neil. He's doing another much lower key Fat Ass 50 on August 5th, Sunday, and he's going to be doing a 50K on the 4th. So he looks like he's going to be doing back-to-back and a double, which can be two 50Ks on two consecutive days, which will be very good training for the 100K in October. Go for that, Richard. I really wish you the best on that. It's going to be tough, but you should be able to do it. Let's see, last one from Phil would be, Phil, I need your address because he wants episodes 1 through 100, and I'll burn those for you, but I need your address to send that, and if you've given that to me before, Phil, I have misplaced it, so please send that. Appreciate that. All right, well, that is the show for this week. Wow, we're up to just over the allotted time. Hopefully you come back for episode 160. I know the podcast has gotten kind of goofy over the last several episodes, and anyway, I appreciate you coming back and listening to it, and I will have all the regular updates in the next show. Hopefully, I'll also have an interview with Lummix. If not in the next show, the one after that. I just got to talk him into getting interviewed, and I think it'd be interesting because he's a new runner, and he's already done the half marathon, and now he's training for a marathon. We're just training to finish in 5 hours, so we'll see how that goes. All right, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.